Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where you read the scriptures and reflect on them with those from the past. Today, we'll be reading John 11, verses 30 to 37, and then through J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 11, verses 30 to 37. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly to go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of the Lord. Not many passages in the New Testament are more wonderful than the simple narrative contained in these eight verses. It brings out in a most beautiful light the sympathetic character of our Lord Jesus Christ. It shows us the one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him, as able to feel as he is to save. He shows us him who is one with the Father, the maker of all things, entering into human sorrows and shedding human tears. We learn for one thing in these verses how great a blessing God sometimes bestows on actions of kindness and sympathy. It seems that the house of Martha and Mary at Bethany was filled with mourners when Jesus arrived. Many of these mourners knew nothing of the inner life of these holy women. Their faith, their hope, their love for Christ, their discipleship were things of which they were wholly ignorant. But they felt for them in their heavy bereavement and kindly came to offer what comfort they could. By so doing, they reaped a rich and unexpected reward. They held the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did. They were eyewitnesses when Lazarus came forth from the tomb. To many of them, we may well believe that day was a spiritual birth. The raising of Lazarus led to a resurrection in their souls. How small sometimes are the hinges on which eternal life appears to depend. If these people had not sympathized, they might never have been saved. We need not doubt that these things are written for our learning. To show sympathy and kindness to the sorrowful is good for our own souls, whether we know it or not. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to weep with those who weep, to try to bear one another's burdens and lighten one another's cares, all this will make no atonement for sin and will not take us to heaven. Yet, it is healthy employment of our hearts and something which no one ought to despise. Few are aware that one secret of being miserable is to live only for ourselves, and one secret of being happy is to try to make others happy and to do a little good in the world. It is not for nothing that these words are written by Solomon. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Ecclesiastes 7, 2 and 4. The saying of our Lord is too often overlooked, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Matthew 10, 42. The friends of Martha and Mary found that promise wonderfully verified. In an age of selfishness and self-indulgence, it would be well if they had more imitators. We learn for another thing what a depth of tender sympathy there is in Christ's heart toward his people. We read that when our Lord saw Mary weeping and the Jews also weeping with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. We read even more than this. He gave outward expression to his feelings. He wept. He knew perfectly well that the sorrow of the family of Bethany would soon be turned into joy and that Lazarus in a few minutes would be restored to his sisters. But though he knew all this, he wept. This weeping of Christ is deeply instructive. It shows us that it is not sinful to sorrow. Weeping and mourning are sadly trying to us and make us feel the weakness of our mortal nature, but they are not in themselves wrong. Even the Son of God wept. It shows us that deep feeling is not a thing of which we need to be ashamed. To be cold and stoical and unmoved in the sight of sorrow is no sign of grace. There is nothing unworthy of a child of God in tears. Even the Son of God could weep. It shows us above all that the Savior in whom believers trust is a most tender and feeling Savior. He is one who can be touched with sympathy for our infirmities. When we turn to Him in the hour of trouble and pour out our hearts before Him, He knows what we go through and can pity. He is one who never changes. Though He now sits at God's right hand in heaven, His heart is still the same that it was upon earth. We have an advocate with the Father who, when He was upon earth, could weep. Let us remember these things in daily life and never be ashamed of walking in our Master's footsteps. Let us strive to be men and women of a tender heart and a sympathizing spirit. Let us never be ashamed to weep with them that weep and to rejoice with them that rejoice. Well would it be for the church and the world if there were more Christians of this stamp and character. The church would be far more beautiful and the world be far more happy. That is the end of Rao's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today, and may the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for His glory. In considering what we've just heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, we see mourners joined Mary and Martha in the passing of their brother Lazarus. Rao points out that because they did this, that day was likely the day of salvation for many with the miracle that followed. Ryle highlights that there is often blessings that follow those who live for the good of others. Have we known this to be true in our own lives? And second, we find that Jesus, though he knew exactly what he would do, wept for the loss of Lazarus. Ryle points out that this Jesus hasn't changed, that he is the one who feels and sympathizes for our weaknesses and losses. Do we know this about our Savior, or do we have a picture of Him being stoic and unmoved when we suffer? How about our walking in His footsteps? Do we have a tender heart like our Savior? Weeping and truly sympathizing with others is hard, but do we have evidence of walking this path with others like our Savior?